Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four diverse, outstanding, and experienced players of Just a Minute who are going to partake today. We welcome back Paul Merton, and he's joined by three of our other regular players, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, and Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Pleasance on the Edinburgh Fringe. Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, who's going to keep the score, and she will blow a whistle, which will tell us that 60 seconds are up, and whoever is speaking then will get an extra point. And I'm going to ask, as usual, our four players of the game to speak if they can on the subject that I give them, and as usual, they will try and do that without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. Let us begin the show this week with Paul Merton. And Paul, the subject here is the Highlands. A good Scottish subject to begin this Scottish edition of Just a Minute. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I only learnt to drive a year ago, so the many times I've been up to Edinburgh in the past, I've not been able to take the car further on and explore some of the beautiful countryside, which I've seen in various films, such as the 39 Steps, where Richard Hannay jumps off the Forth Bridge and then goes running through the Highlands and goes round to John Laurie's cottage, and there's Dame Peggy Ashcroft. Well, his wife there, and she gives him a coat and he slips around the police, and then he finds a man with a missing finger, which is not as common as you might think, actually. And he got the bit that was missing was the bottom bit, the top bit was still there.
Clement Freud, you challenged.
Two missings,
yes. So, Clement, you have a correct challenge, and you get a point for that. You take over the subject of the Highlands, and there are 26 seconds available starting now.
I'm never quite sure where the Highlands begin.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
I am. Stirling is the gateway to the Highlands.
I was told Loch Lomond was, but doesn't really matter.
Yes, Stirling.
But I don't think you get any points for showing off, Derek. What do you mean, oh, he doesn't say? It's not one of the rules of Just a Minute. So Clement was interrupted. He gets a point for that. 23 seconds are still available, Clement. The Highlands starting now.
There is, I'm told, considerable discussion whether the Highlands start at Stirling or Loch Lomond. And I personally...
Paul Merton, you challenge.
Repetition of start.
No, there's a beginning before.
No, beginning before.
Oh.
Yes. Well tried, Paul. Yes. 15 seconds are still available on the Highlands. Still with you, Clement, starting now.
The Highlands and Islands are particularly famous for the malt whisky, which is wholly excellent. Perhaps Isla is where the profusion of this liquor comes from. Berwick Laddy, Port Ellen, Port Charlotte...
Whoever is speaking, as the whistle goes, gains an extra point. It was on this occasion Clement Freud. In fact, he's the only one to have scored any points in that round. To negate those letters I sometimes get, and they say, why didn't you correct him? It wasn't Peggy Ashcroft in the film of John Hannay. It was Madeleine Carroll.
Yeah, she played the blonde one. The wife of John Laurie was Dame Peggy Ashcroft.
Oh, that's very interesting. I thought you were referring to the girl who fell in love with Richard Hannay. So anyway, we've got that quite clear for those who like to make their historical and cinematographic notes, and we will carry on with Just a Minute. And Paul...
What did you say then?
Those who like to make their historical cinematographic notes.
Oh, all right, that's all right. I just wandered off for a bit. For a minute, I thought you were talking gibberish, but I was wrong.
No, I normally talk gibberish.
That's what confused me. You'd been going for 7 seconds, so I immediately assumed it was rubbish.
You realise now why Paul Merton comes back on the show. There's nobody else to whom he can be so rude except me. Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is studs. Will you tell us something? I don't know why they've given it to you, Derek, but anyway... assure you, if you haven't any experience, you can tell us something about the subject in just a minute, starting now.
I think it's a great relief these days that one so seldom wears white tie and tails, because it was always an absolute nightmare trying to get those studs through a stiff-fronted shirt, and the back stud and the front one too, with little things that turned up and always fell off right at the critical moment. Of course, Nicholas Parsons was, in his day, a great stud. A lover. A sort of person that used to be...
Excuse me, Paul Merton has challenged. I'm dying to know what it is. Yes, Paul?
Just for the listeners, I think they might like to know exactly when your day was.
It was Tuesday, March the 31st, 1944.
Yes, that was one of the days, and there we are, yes. Paul, we enjoyed the challenge. It was set up for you, obviously.
I enjoyed it in a way as well.
So we give you a point for a challenge that everybody enjoyed. But as Derek was interrupted, he keeps the subject. He gets a point for being interrupted. He has 38 seconds on studs, starting now.
I think one of the happier things in life would be if one had been a racehorse and won the Derby, and then was immediately retired as a three-year-old to stud. And for absolutely the rest of your days, these marvellous men, the pick of their generation, will be presented to you
Paul
for you to cover. What's the matter?
This would only be great fun if you were a horse. Unless you are willing to enlighten us about your particular habits.
I did say you'd have to win the Derby and not get it.
Paul, again, we love the challenge. Another bonus point to you. Derek was interrupted. Another point to him. 22 seconds. Studs with you, Derek, starting now.
Swettenham Stud used to be one of the most successful race establishments in the country, but it hasn't had much good fortune recently. I think, actually, if I was owner of a great horse...
Peter Challenge.
Hesitation.
Peter, 12 seconds. Studs with you, starting now.
I used to have to wear stiff collars during the short time that I was away at school, and the best way to soften them is to spit on the buttonholes and rub it with a bit of soap.
Clement Foy Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Spit on the buttonholes and rub it. Rub what?
Oh, I think that's a little bit too pedantic, really, even for this show, yes.
Rub the spit?
On the buttonholes, yes. There's more than one buttonhole in a collar, there's both sides, so he must have been spitting on the buttonholes. I don't think that was deviation, no, I think it was a very natural thing to do, Peter.
Yes, and it's just as interesting as Peggy Ashcroft's appearance in that bloody film.
So a point to you, Peter, for an incorrect challenge, and you keep the subject, and there's only half a second to go on studs, starting now.
I...
So Peter Jones was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now in second place behind our leader, Clement Freud. And Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, explorers. Tell us something about those intrepid characters in just a minute, starting now.
I always wanted to be an explorer when I was young, and I wanted to go up the Amazon and look for Colonel Fawcett, who was lost there many years ago, if you remember. And then the south part of the hemisphere I wanted to explore in the wake...
Derek Nimmo,
Representative Wanton.
You wanted to do both. You wanted to go up the Amazon.
Oh, yeah, that's right, I did, yes.
So, Derek, a correct challenge. Have the subject, explorers, 45 seconds.
It is so sad there's so little the world actually to explore. There are only two explorers I've ever met, Gavin Young.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
There's just as much in the world as there ever was.
Not to explore.
I'm sorry, I agree with Peter, because even you can go to a place which is well known, but you can explore it for yourself for the first time. So you can be an explorer in some area, you can be an explorer up here in Edinburgh if you've never been here before.
That's a tourist, Nicholas.
But they are still exploring the city, because they're the first time they've visited here. So, Peter, I agree with your challenge. So you get a point, of course. The subject, 41 seconds, explorers, starting now.
And the nearest I ever got to the South Pole was Dunedin and Invercargill in the southern part of New Zealand. And I must say, it was pretty waste. It was a waste.
Derek Nimmo, challenge. Yes, I agree, right. Yes. 28 seconds, explorers, with you, Derek, starting now.
Wilfred Thesiger, born in Abyssinia, or Ethiopia, perhaps you would like to call it, in 1912, had his 80th birthday a couple of years ago. He actually was last of the great explorers. He's the first man across the empty quarter. And you know, when he went over towards Nizwa, he had to make the camels vomit and drink the muck that was then regurgitated to survive. And I've been along the roads he travelled on a back in the car.
Well, Derek Nimmer, with that disgusting story, brought that round to an end, gained an extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's taken the lead, one ahead of Clement Freud. Clement, your turn to begin. Ancient Greece. Will you tell us something about that wonderful place, starting now?
The real trouble about ancient Greece is that they were not on the internet. Although they did have one rather smart thing called Widows 95, which was a sort of geriatric dating agency. Ancient Greece had a language which many of us had to learn at school. It was called Greek and had letters and numbers, which I now forget. Also, I need to drink a glass of water, so if somebody would buzz me.
A new way of playing Just a Minute. Paul, you were the first to buzz, so...
I heard the man, and I buzzed him.
So we interpret that as hesitation. 29 seconds, Paul. Tell us something about ancient Greece, starting now.
The best way to soften collars is to get a camel to vomit on them. And they are then... And this was...
Peter Jones' challenge.
A deviation.
Why?
Well, it's nothing to do with ancient Greece.
Yes, that's what they used to do in ancient Greece.
I don't think they had stiff collars in ancient Greece.
No, because camels used to vomit on them.
You can applaud his wonderful comic invention, but the...
We could learn a lot from them.
Yeah, there weren't many camels in ancient Greece as well. Listen, Paul, I think, to be fair, because the audience loved it, they gave a big round of applause, a bonus point for what you said. Peter Jones gets a point for a correct challenge, takes over the subject, 23 seconds, ancient Greece, starting now.
I've listened to you very carefully, and I'm here to tell you that ancient Greece is that substance which adheres to the ceiling and walls of restaurants that have not been examined by the health authorities. And it's normally called a greasy spoon restaurant. And there are several in this great city, among the other wonderful eating places that we've found.
So Peter Jones, with points in the round and one for speaking as the whistle went, has leapt forward. He's now in the lead, but only one ahead of the other three. And Paul, your turn to begin. Paul, a flutter. I don't know whether you're a betting man, but tell us something about that subject in just a minute, if you can, starting now.
If you had gone to the bookmakers and placed a £500 bet that my next word would be heliotrope, you have just won yourself a substantial amount of money. Somebody buzzed?
No. Oh, yes! Clement Freud's light came on, but I didn't hear any buzzer. What did you say?
It's a deviation. That isn't a flutter. £500 is a substantial bet.
There's a betting man talking. Clement, a correct challenge, a flutter, with you, 49 seconds, starting now.
I have very little time for flutters. I think if you have a bet, it should be sufficient to give you genuine joy if it wins and polax you in the event of a loss. Lots of people come up and say, did you have a little bit to win on that horse or dog? And I spit. Like a camel, I vomit on folk.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was, yes. Yeah. Yes, you definitely hesitated as you
I think he was just clearing his throat, to be honest. Right.
I think he was trying to work camels.
In preparation.
I think he was trying to work vomit, camel spit, and stiff collars very cleverly.
Same old story,
into a
isn't
flutter,
it?
Yes. Peter, a correct challenge. You have the subject. 24 seconds. A flutter starting now.
If you feel a flutter in your chest, it's very likely that you're having a heart attack. And the best thing to do is to get a pacemaker as fast as you can, or at any rate, a doctor. If you can't do this, then it's best to lie down for a while until the feeling passes off.
Tradition of best.
Did Doctor. You hear him me say that?
Yes, you did definitely say best.
Ah, yes.
You did repeat it, actually, Peter, yes.
So he may have deprived many people suffering from heart attacks of the means of saving their lives.
I think the audience applause is saying, give Peter Jones a bonus point. But Derek Nimmo got a correct challenge, so he gets a point, and he has 7 seconds on a flutter starting now.
I did have a flutter before I had my quadruple bypass some 10 years ago. And I did go immediately to the Princess Grace Hospital.
So, Derek Nimmo, speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's still just behind Peter Jones, our leader. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, Scotch. Oh, what a lovely subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
Now, the Englishman often makes a tremendous mistake and talks about people being Scotch instead of Scottish. But what the correct reference is to is that noble drink, that honey-coloured lictor, of which great people all over the world...
Paul Merton challenge.
Lictor?
Hannibal Lecter.
Yes.
Sounds part of a sleazy tabloid headline.
I think definite deviation from the English language as we understand it. Scotch, with you, Paul, 48 seconds, starting now.
I don't particularly like spirits. I don't drink much scotch. Occasionally I've had it with a glass of water mixed in with it. A lot of people say you shouldn't do that, but I understand that is what the connoisseurs do when they are drinking scotch. They mix it with water, which is an exact repetition of what I just said. Word for word.
And Clement Freud was first in, so you admitted word for word.
Paragraph, repetition. That was it.
Yeah. But Clement Press first, he's got in on Scotch with 33 seconds to tell us about it, starting now.
Philologically, it is also correct to use the word Scotch in respect of salmon. Smoked fish of that ilk is Scotch and not Scottish. There are two ways of...
Paul, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, yes, right. Scotch is back with you. 20 seconds, Paul, starting now.
How do they get that egg that goes in there that's surrounded by breadcrumbs? I can only assume that they thread into the outer surface and miniaturise the particular thing that comes out of a hen into the middle of it there. And then there you are, you have a marvellous dish which is called a Scotch ovoid. And the thing that I like about it is you can drink it with the most beautiful you might get
just, sorry, but within 1 second ago, you were challenged by yes. Clement Freud.
Deviation. It's not called a Scotch ovoid.
Oh, dear.
Try.
We all knew what he meant, and he didn't want... Ooh! The audience has said that it was a clever way of not saying Scotch egg because he couldn't repeat it the word, and we all understood it. So we give you the benefit of the doubt, Paul, and you keep going on Scotch egg with 1.5 seconds to go, starting now.
Ovoid, ovoid, ovoid.
So at the end of that round, Paul Merton has taken the lead alongside Peter Jones and Paul. Your turn to begin. Megabytes. Tell us something about those in this game, starting now.
Esther Ranson, Ken Dodd, Janet Street Porter. What do these three people have in common? An enormous set of choppers. When they bite into something, it truly is a megabyte. They start by on what bar?
Clement. Yes, we recognise what happened. We interpret it as hesitation. 42 seconds, megabytes with you starting now.
If you watch the lottery programme on a Saturday, you will see, just before they announce the numbers, a woman called Mystic Meg, who tells you who might win. And she's extremely...
A Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation. No mention of megabytes so far.
No, we haven't. He's talked about Mystic. No, I know what we're leading to, but I agree with Paul.
What are we leading to?
That, I don't know, but it's something to do with... But I assume that these megabytes has got something to do with Mystic Meg, and he hasn't yet established that. And that's why I'm agreeing with your challenge, but I have to justify my agreement, because otherwise I will not only get letters, but I will get harsh looks from the other three members of the team here. It's not a team, actually, it's a competition. They're working on their own.
Megabytes. I thought somebody's working you, though, aren't they?
I know, Elaine's doing a wonderful job, but how she does it with both hands on the table, I don't know.
Oh. There's something deeply unpleasant going on.
No, no. Blushes don't come over well on television and...
Or on radio. Yeah.
My Scarlet. Advice to Elaine is keep your hands on the table.
Paul, to continue with Just a Minute and Megabytes, I agree with your challenge, which came some time ago, and you have 26 seconds to take over the subject, starting now.
I...
I don't know anything about them.
You lost immediately to Clement Freud. Clement, 24 seconds, Megabytes, starting now.
Hesitation.
Yes, that's right, you got the subject. 24 seconds. Starting now. Paul, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, Paul. Twenty-one-second Megabytes, Paul, starting now.
It's something...
Who challenged? Peter Nimmer.
Hesitation.
No, indeed, no. Paul, another point, 20 points, Megabytes, starting now.
20 points? That,
yes, there right. A... 20 minutes. Peter, you challenge.
I can't talk about it for 20 minutes.
Hesitation?
Yes.
Right, yes, 19 seconds on Megabytes with you, Peter, starting now.
Well, you've heard of sound bites, and Megabytes are rather longer versions of that. In fact, they creep into the area of monologues. And instead of the short, quick...
Jerry Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation.
There was an there, Peter,
yes,
so
was,
interpret
yes.
That as hesitation. 6 seconds left, Megabytes starting now.
You have noticed that nobody wants really to talk about Megabytes because actually nothing about them at all. And that is...
Paul challenged.
Repetition of actually.
Yes, you did say actually.
First time I've spoken.
But it was in that bit.
What's
said
that?
Actually twice.
No, you haven't said it in this round.
No, I have not.
No,
he said actually.
I generally say, but I haven't said
round.
In this round.
And you can repeat words in a different round that you've used before, but not in this round. That is repetition. So, an incorrect challenge. You've got 1 second left, Eric, on Megabytes starting now.
Megabytes are very interesting.
Right. Thank goodness that round is finished. Now, at the end of that round, Paul Merton got quite a number of points, so he's increased his lead. Derek Nimmer, who has moved into second place alongside Peter Jones and Clement Freud for once, is trailing a little behind them. Derek, your turn to begin the subject, cheek. Will you tell us something about cheek in just a minute, starting now?
Do you realize it's a most extraordinary coincidence? Because just before the programme started, I was talking about cheeks with Sir Clement Freud. In fact, we were reminiscing about a visit to a little island called Poitoy, and he was given a garoupa fish there, and... into the fish he plunged with his...
A Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of fish.
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely right.
Fish, yes.
Well, listen.
Another point to...
into the fish he plunged.
Well, yeah. He plunged his chopsticks.
I don't know. It's worse than the camels.
Right, another point to Peter. We enjoyed that. But Paul has a subject, a point for a correct challenge. 44 seconds on cheek, Paul, starting now.
Well, I well remember the old Fred Astaire song, Dancing Cheek to Cheek, and it was one of those films that starred him and Ginger Rogers that RKO used to make quite a lot of in the 1930s, and they were seen as a very good dancing couple on the big silver screen. A programme I used to like as a child was The Clitheroe Kid, starring Jimmy of that name, because he was a cheeky little schoolboy. I didn't realise at the time he was actually 85 and a midget, but you don't know when you're 11 years old that these sort of things are going on. And I used to enjoy that programme immensely. It was very well written and very...
Peter, you challenge.
Well, he's got away from cheek altogether with The Clitheroe Kid and all these figures from the past.
But he also repeated very.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Well,
which is what I thought you were challenging for. I mean...
that was my first choice, but I changed my mind in midair. So,
Peter, you have a correct challenge. 7 seconds, cheek, starting now.
They cut the cheek off cows... heads and make it into a kind of brawn, though this is forbidden in...
Right. So, Peter Jones, gaining points, also one for speaking as a whistle went, has moved forward. He's now equal in the lead with Paul Merton, and we're moving into the final round. And just behind them, only 3 points, Derek Nimmo, and then just behind him, Clement Freud. It could be anybody's contest, though again, are the points important? To the players, yes, but not, I think, to the listeners.
We're wasting our time, then.
Peter, would you start the final round, ferreting? 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
This is a sport, so-called, that I've never actually indulged in, but it involves putting ferrets down holes and trying to pelt...
All challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was, yes. Yes. What were you trying to do with those ferrets?
Paralyse the rabbits.
Paralyse the rabbits?
Well, as soon as they see a ferret, they can't move, you see. They're frightened to death.
Oh, I thought they ran out the other burrow, their escape hatch.
Well, if there is one, but I mean...
Didn't you know that every rabbit makes an escape hatch? They have three or four.
How long have we got on this?
Paul, a correct challenge, 50 seconds. Ferreting, starting now.
In country fairs up and down the United Kingdom during the summer, you'll often see people sticking Nicholas Parsons down their trousers. And this is regarded as a rather cruel sport these days because the poor creature doesn't know where it is at the best of times. Never mind being encased in some particular tweed legging.
Derek, challenge.
I think I must challenge on the grounds of deviation. I can't imagine you being pushed down tweed trousers.
I've enjoyed it, actually. Especially some of the people who were wearing them. No, actually, I agree. It's a very devious thought and a very devious idea.
Are you denying it?
Yeah. Right. Derek, 31 seconds. Ferreting starting now.
I've been trying to shove ferrets down mole holes, but they won't go. They're too big and I can't get rid of them at all. Only ferrets will work with rats and rabbits. And jolly good they are. So if you have any problem with those particular vermin, give me a ring. 373-521.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of three.
373. So, Clement, 10 seconds are left to tell us something about ferreting starting now.
The most important thing about ferreting is to have a ferret. And these are most engaging animals. They really have a sort of yellowish
Peter Jones
sheen.
Peter Jones' challenge. Hesitation. Yes, I thought that was a little hesitation. And, Peter, you've cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go on ferreting starting now.
You can also describe
who challenged him?
Somebody...
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
He didn't say well. He always says well before he says anything.
I only had 2 seconds, you know. I couldn't hang about.
Well. You could have said well, well.
The audience applause indicates that you deserve a bonus point, Clement. But Peter was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. And he has 1 second on ferreting starting now.
Searching and looking for something.
Right. Well. So, as I said a little while ago, this was to be the last round, so let me give you the final score. It's a very interesting situation. They all contributed so much, and they all gained a lot of points. But for the contributions, the points were that Clement Freud for once finished in fourth place, 1 point behind Derek Nimmo, who was just behind Paul Merton. But at that last surge forward of Peter Jones, rushing for the tape, he got there ahead of all the rest. So this week, with most points, Peter, we say you are the winner. A popular win. And you had to come to Edinburgh to achieve it, Peter, but nonetheless. Yes. So it only remains to say thank you to our 4 outstanding players of this game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Derek Nimmo. I also thank Elaine Widley. I'm sorry I made her blush halfway through the show, but she kept the score magnificently, blew the whistle most delicately and smartly. We also thank our producer, Anne Jobson. But we thank Ian Messiter for thinking of the game and also keeping us going like he does. I also must thank this wonderful, delightful audience on the festival fringe here at the Pleasance in Edinburgh, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, on all of us until we take to the air to play Just a Minute once more. Goodbye and thank you.